Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. The Lord is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
So we are at liberty
Amen.
This morning to receive
Amen.
From our God
yes.
what He has for us today.
Yes.
Praise God. We want to welcome you here to Oasis. I'm not sure if I see any unfamiliar faces, but if this is your first time here, would you please just raise your hand, and the ushers will give you a card this morning. And we thank you for coming. We are very honored to have you today. And I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock. And I know that God's got something just for you today. Amen.
Amen.
He sees that you're not fair weathered Christians this morning.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Press
Glory
through
to God.
The weather.
Glory to
Press
God.
Press through the time
That's right.
this morning. Amen.
That's right.
So be ready to receive. God will honor that this morning.
Amen.
So be ready to receive what He has for you today. And before I turn over to the pastor, I want to speak a word, a blessing over you. I had one blessing typed out that I wanted to speak over you, but the Lord said, speak Psalms 91 over them this
Amen.
Morning. Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah. So I declare in the name of Jesus, just receive it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. You abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, He is your refuge, your fortress, your God. In Him do you trust. I declare the Lord shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The Lord covers you. The Lord covers you. The Lord covers
yes.
you with His
yes.
feathers, and under His
Praise
wings
God.
Do you trust. God's truth is your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor will you be afraid for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I declare 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near
yes.
you.
Yes.
Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, even the
Glory
Most High
God.
Your habitation. Yes. There shall no evil befall you. There shall no evil befall you. There shall no evil befall you.
Yes.
Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For the Lord gives His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The angels bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon will you trample under feet. Because you have set your love upon the Lord, therefore will the Lord deliver you. The Lord will set you on high because you have known His name. You will call upon the Lord, and He will answer you. He will be with you in trouble. He will deliver you, and He will honor you with long life. With long life. With long life will He satisfy you and show you His salvation. Give Him a hand clap of
Glory
praise
to God.
This morning.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Praise
so
God.
So be it.
Glory.
Glory to God. Turn it over to Pastor.
I wish Pastor Sharon would get stirred up sometimes. Glory to God. It is neighbor looking time. Look at your neighbor. Smile at your neighbor. Point at your neighbor. And say, I came
to receive
God's good word,
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you
ready?
Are you ready
to receive God's good word
this day.
Glory to God.
And I'll never
Never be the same.
Be the same.
Again. In Jesus' name.
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service this day. Father, we thank You. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of Your calling. We thank You for revelation knowledge. We thank You that the Word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. We thank You for strong utterance and strong anointing, and that Your people make a strong drawing on the anointing of God. Holy Spirit, help me deliver this message this day. Speak through me, preach through me, teach through me. Help me say exactly what I should say. Father, I thank you that we are preaching and teaching your word, and you said signs and wonders follow your word. So we're expecting and believing to see signs and wonders follow this word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I ask if you will to go to your, get your Bibles and go to Matthew 6, 33. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. I'm going to read it in a couple of different translations this morning. I like to do that. Sometimes it expands our understanding of the Scripture. Matthew 6, 33 in the King James says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In the Amplified, it says, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing." Everybody say, "His way of doing."
His way of doing.
That just kind of jumps out, doesn't it? His way of doing and being right. "The attitude and the character of God, and all these things will be given to you also." In the Contemporary English Version, "But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what He wants. Then the other things will be yours as well." Now, I'll give you an example. I've given this before, but I'm going to give you an example. The Holy Spirit reminded me of it again. Years ago, I used to really like to go to yard sales. I mean, I was a yard sale junkie. I did yard sales all the time on Saturday mornings. Now, I study all day on Saturdays, but I said, well, you know what? I can get up really, really early because yard sales are really, really early if you're going to get the good stuff anyway. And so I did that. And I did it, and, you know, I'd come home, and I'd be real tired. I'm studying, but it's taking something out of me. And this went on for a while, and the Holy Spirit started dealing with me that I wasn't putting the Lord first the way I should, because I should give Him, because I'm not giving Him my best, because now I'm tired, and so my best in my studying is not there like it would have been. And so He really dealt with me to give up the yard sales. And so I did. Now, somebody can take this message and hear it and say, "That pastor said you can't go to a yard sale. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life." But that's not what I said. What I said is I was putting it above the Lord, and it was making me too tired in my body, really, to give God my best in my study and prayer time. And so He moved it. Now, He gave it back to me one time. Years later, I told y'all that, you know, one morning after several years, He woke me up and said, "Go to yard sale." And I said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Go to yard sale." And I said, "No way. Go to yard sales." So, went to yard sale. And I had always been, we called it a lot of things, but what it was complaining to Pastor Sharon for years about the expense of the wrapping paper. Like for the baby showers and the, you know, the different things, wedding gifts and different things. You know, they had the singly wrapped stuff. It was like $3-4 a pop. And I had mentioned that to her over and over, how much of that we were buying and different stuff. Well, we were at this yard sale, and there was a box of it there. It was a, they used to have a store that sold it or whatever. Never been opened. And I got looking at that box, and I said, "Would you take..." And I think I offered him either 10 or 20. Probably with me, it was probably 10. Truth be told. And he said, "Yeah, I'll take it." So it was the whole box. It was 240-something of those unopened packets that were like $3 or $4 a piece. We still got some of it today. We have given some of it away, and we've used it. Now, this is ages ago. This is years and years and years ago. But I said that to say this, when the Lord can trust you back again with putting, you know, He'll give it right back to you. But He has to be able to trust us to keep Him first. Okay. We were going to, I got a lot of examples today, and it's just the way the Holy Spirit led me this week. We were going to a church in LaGrange, and they had home groups for their Sunday night services. And they had asked us to lead a home group. And while we were waiting in the interim to start that home group, there was another home group that they had in the LaGrange area. And after church one day, we were talking to the home group leaders of that home group, because my intention was, I'm going to go to his home group, I'm going to find out how he does it, and then I'm going to duplicate that in, you know, Phoenix City. And so that was my whole plan. And I heard on the inside of me, no, when I'm asking them about it. Then I said, well, who all's going to it? And then I heard, no. And just like, I'm hard-headed, just like y'all are sometimes. And, you know, you can look at your neighbor because you know your neighbor's hard-headed, even if you don't recognize it in yourself. You know your neighbor's hard-headed. So we was doing it again. I was trying to get the directions to the place. And I heard it again, third time, no. So I said, okay, we ain't going. I didn't tell them, but I said, we're not going. And I was really inquiring of the Lord about it. And he told me, I don't want you to pattern it after somebody else. I want to give you the pattern. But you want to do it the easy way, because I'm just wanting to go and do what he's doing. I'm going to write down what he's doing, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's my plan. But it's a lot harder if you've got to seek the whole plan the way God wants it. But that's what he wants of us. He wants us to put him first and not necessarily to look to a man. Because it's easy to lean on a man. Sharon said this before. Pastor Sharon has mentioned this before. That when we first got married, she had greater revelation on finances, and I had greater revelation on healing. And she had a lot of different stuff going on in her body right there in the beginning, so she was coming to me a lot, asking me to pray about this and pray about that, and the Lord would heal her, and he'd heal her, and he'd heal her. And then it got to a place that I could pray for her until the cows came home. She ain't getting nothing. And the Lord let us both know it's because she's leaning on me. And she said this before herself. She was leaning on me, not meaning to, because there's nothing wrong with a husband praying for his wife or us praying for each other. There's nothing. But the Lord doesn't want us to look at the person and be totally dependent upon that person and not realize it's coming through him, and that she could seek the Lord and get that healing for herself. Now, that doesn't discount the laying on of hands. That's one way healing comes. That doesn't discount us praying for each other and stuff. But in this case, the Lord wasn't first, and he wanted to be first. And he was showing us or teaching us that through that. Now, so many times we look to other people when we have a need, or we look to things or places. We may look to a bank, may look to a relative, may look to a friend, but God is our source. There's nothing wrong with any of these things or any of these people, but it's wrong when we put them in God's place. Instead of seeking the Lord, we go to the relative. Instead of asking him, we go this way, and because they did it this way. Mm-mm. Now, doctors are good. Everybody say doctors are good.
Doctors are good.
Everybody say medicine's good. But don't put it above God. You understand? We should seek the Lord. I mean, we could hear about this certain doctor. He is the best. He's helped people with the symptoms that you or I have experienced. So instead of praying about it ourselves, we go to that doctor. And we don't get helped a bit. Somebody else we know got helped. Why don't we get help? Because the Lord's stopping it. You say, why would he stop it? He wants us healed. Yeah, but we're looking to the doctor, not to the head physician. We left the Lord out of the deal. In 2 Chronicles, I thought this was an interesting scripture, 2 Chronicles 16 and 12. And Asa, on the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa died in the 40th year of his reign. Now, there are people that have something wrong with them. All of us do it one time or another. The enemy attacks every one of us. But there are some people, when they have something wrong with them, they'll hear about a certain healing evangelist. And they'll go specifically to have that healing evangelist lay hands on them. There's nothing wrong with going to the meeting, but you shouldn't raise up that one person. That one person's going to get my healing to me, because I'm going to go to them, and I've seen thousands of people healed through them. Then it doesn't happen at that meeting. They go to the next meeting with a different healing evangelist. And it doesn't happen through that meeting. I've heard Brother Hagin talk about it for years, about how people would go from different ones, and they'd finally get to him, and he'd say, I ain't going to lay hands on you. And they'd say, why not? He said, because you're not going to get it. Because you're looking in the wrong place. You're not looking to the Lord, and you have to seek the Lord for yourself. Matthew 10:37. This is in the Living Bible. If you love your father and mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for me, you'll save it. Get this. This is in the message. I've never heard it like this. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. If you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. I like that. That's good. You know, Lester Summerall was a great man of God. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But when he told his father he was going to be an evangelist, God had called him to be an evangelist. His father said, if you even think about it, he said, I'm going to kick you out of the house. And he did. And Lester went on. And he didn't have a dime. He didn't have a nickel in his pocket. But he had God's direction for his life. And he had to forsake his father in order to do the will of God. Sometimes our family may not understand what we're doing, but we're doing it for God. Oral Roberts had personal ambition. He wanted to be an attorney. He had to let that go to do what God had called him to do. Whoever loves, this is a blank, more than me is not worthy of me. The scripture we were just talking about. Whoever loves money more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves fame more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves possessions more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves titles more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves houses more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves cars more than me is not worthy of me. You fill in the blank. When my dad died, I had friends I was close to, and I expected they would come to the funeral. I was going to lean on them. You know, we draw strength from each other. But they kind of let me know, all of them let me know they weren't coming to the funeral. And I was real disappointed. I was a young baby Christian. I hadn't been born again just a little while. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, you got me. And I mean, it was strong. And I could feel His presence so strong. And He said, you got me. And I was like, I got God. It don't matter if anybody else comes. I don't have to have my eyes on anybody else, whether they come or not. I've got God. And that's what He wanted me to be looking at, not the ones that were, could come or couldn't come. They wound up showing up. It didn't matter. I had God. And I wasn't offended because I had God. I was looking to certain people too much. And we all look to people sometimes too much. It's good to have friends and family, but don't put unrealistic expectations on them. Look to God. He'll help you make it through. Don't get your eyes on people too much. You will get disappointed and bitter. Now, I'm going to say something. This is all of us. Every one of us will disappoint somebody else. And someone else will disappoint us. Philippians 4:19, the NIV version. And my God will meet all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you something that was specific to me, another example about keeping the Lord in the right perspective. I was working on a factory job, and I was offered Sunday work. Now, let me qualify that. Okay, my regular job week was Monday through Friday. Overtime was anything additional Monday through Friday, and then Saturdays was, you know, like time and a half for the whole day. Okay, and that was the way my work week was. So when I'm saying this that I'm fixing to say, you got to qualify it, because I don't want you to think maybe your work week, we have people here that come to this body that their work week is Sunday through Thursday, or their work week keeps them out of the services, and this wouldn't apply to them at all. It applied to me because I had a choice about my work week. Can you understand? They were offering Sunday work. Now, I wasn't pastoring the church at that time, but we needed the money. Sunday work was going to pay either double time or double time and a half. I don't remember, but it was a lot. And I remember thinking, I'm going to make a lot that day. And I got my eyes on that. And I said, I think I'm going to sign that list and I'm going to do that. And The Lord said, no. And I said, there ain't nothing wrong with this. Work's a good thing. Let me show you some scriptures. If a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. That's a good one. What about that? And I'd worked 6 days, and I had worked plenty of overtime, tons of overtime. But he said, no, you're not doing it. Now, God gives us a choice. We can do it. And so I didn't do it. But I was doing it. How do you not do something begrudgingly? But that's the way I was doing. I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to obey you, but I'm not going to be willing. And I'm not proud that I'm doing it this way because I think I should do it. The following week, everybody's getting their paycheck, like on Thursday. I didn't get a paycheck. But I did get a check in the mail, unexpected. Never before had we got one like this and had no idea it was coming. It was a check for $2,000. Now you can say what you want to, but God did that. And God did that because He knew what I did. And I honored Him by not putting that job as number one spot. You understand? And by not allowing it to be number one, He said, I'm your provider. I'm the source of all your provision. I can give you more than double time if you'll trust me. But He doesn't show us the double time. He doesn't show us the $2,000 that's going to be in case of the double time. He just says, do it by faith. Do what I told you and do it by faith. Keep me first. See, God honors work, but we let it get out of balance sometimes. Who are you looking to? You could be leaning or looking to the money in your bank account or your savings account or your 401k a little too much. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking about you. Then look back at him and say, but I believe he is. And when we're looking too much on those accounts like that, it's not about the Lord being our security. It's about how much is in that account. That's my security. You're not secure unless that's in there. I'll give you an example of this. When we started the storefront church, this church, when we started it, there was an elderly lady that started coming. We were so excited she was coming. And she was coming, and we just all loved on her and loved her so much. And we noticed that she was talking about the high price of food all the time. And she was talking about how, you know, things were expensive and stuff. And, you know, she was on a fixed income, and we knew it. And she talked about that a lot. And then we got this wild idea. Let's take up an offering for her. Let's go and buy her some food and fill her cupboards up. So we did it. And we bought a whole bunch of food, and we took it to her. And she looked totally surprised that this has happened. And she had a funny look on her face, actually. And I didn't know what that funny look was, and I'll explain it to you in a minute. Okay, we took her this food, and, you know, after a few weeks, she stopped coming. And we couldn't figure it out. Why did she stop coming? I'm thinking, how could you get offended about something like this? I'm trying to figure out, because people get offended about a lot of things. And, you know, I was just trying to figure out my natural mind. And I knew that a relative had moved in with her, and then I found out what it was. She's like in a state of perpetual worry. She is like worried sick. And I said, why is she worried sick? Because this relative that was staying with her found her stuff and stole everything that she had. Well, you say, she's a widow. She lives on a pension. She didn't have nothing. That's what she told everybody. But she had $50,000 in the bank. And they stole every nickel that she had. Every single penny. They stole it. But it did her. I mean, she didn't come back. She was messed up. She had too much on that. Many years ago, I knew a man. Y'all still with me? Y'all go home. I know, y'all are looking around. Wonder what they got. You never know. Many years ago, I knew a man who was a minister, and he was a good minister. He started a church. I worked with him, and I'd asked him sometimes how his church was doing, and this was before we ever started this ministry. He told me it was going real good. Then one day when I was talking to him, he said, yeah, I'm going to have to shut the church down. And I said, why? He said, my biggest tither just quit. So I'm going to have to shut the church down. I said, let me get this straight. You got to shut the church down because one tither, your biggest tither, quit. I do. Can't make the payments with that tither quit. I didn't say anything. I'm not bold like I am now. Or I should call it bold or call it big mouth, but whatever. It's a lot different today. I know what I was thinking. I was thinking, well, you ought to close it down. Because if you got your eyes on that one person and you don't have them on God, that's just one of many, and you just need to shut the thing down. Because I'm telling you, you can't do it that way. I mean it. I speak from experience. Psalms 20 and 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Isaiah 31 and 1, complete Jewish Bible. Woe to those going down to Egypt expecting help, relying on horses, trusting in chariots, because they have many, and in the strength of their cavalrymen, but not looking to the Holy One of Israel, nor consulting Adonai. You might be in here today, or you might be listening through the internet radio, and God has kept you in a hard place. You've been in a hard place and because He's been growing you up. Because if He gave you more money, you'd use it for drugs or alcohol. And so He had people not help you on purpose. He didn't let people help you to keep you okay so that you would seek Him and not them. That was good preaching. You almost missed it. Give the CD to somebody. I'm telling you, that was good preaching. Don't go down to Egypt for help. Don't take out a bank loan if God didn't tell you to take out the bank loan. Don't put it on your credit card if the Lord didn't lead you to put it on your credit card. Don't borrow it from a friend or a relative. Sometimes we take out bank loans because in our spirit God said, wait. And we said, plan B? God said, no. Anybody else up there? So we go down to Egypt for help instead of seeking God. A friend of my mom's, this is many years ago, told me that she was believing for restoration of her marriage. She'd been praying and praying about her ex-husband, and she's believing for him back. And I said, well, that's great. She said, and soon as God does it, we're going to go clubbing. And I was like, huh? Oh, years. That can be a tricky thing. What did you say? As soon as God brings my husband back, we're going to go clubbing. I didn't say anything. I'm not bold like I am now. But I was thinking, lady, he ain't ever coming home. Because God ain't never heard one of your prayers. Because He knows you're going to put that in top of Him, above Him, so He can't let Him come home. Some people are looking for a husband or a wife. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. The Bible says it's a good thing. But you can't look for them to supply or to be what only God can be to you. Some people are looking for a good friend to be only what God can be. Get rid of unrealistic expectations of God and of people. Look to God. Well, I had a need. Now this is from experience. We had somebody that was here that left years ago, and she went out the door saying, "I had a need." In that church, they don't care about people; it's just about the money. That's all it is, the money. They don't care about people. I had this huge need, and they didn't help me, so I left. She told several people. Some of them, I think, went with her. Good riddance. You didn't understand. I said, "Good riddance." She forgot to tell we had helped her 3 times before. That's the part that she forgot to tell. 3 times before. Now, we didn't feel led to help her this time because she kept getting herself in the same situation. It wasn't from an outside circumstance. It was from her. It was her own fault. She dug her own problem. And so it's not our responsibility to dig everybody out of their own problems. Thank you very much. Now, sometimes the church may not be able to help somebody because of cash flow. Now, hang on. Let's get real with this thing. Okay? How many of you in your home, you can help everybody that ever comes to you and asks for your help? Wait a minute now. I just want a hand raised. Please raise your hand. Please, I need your hand, actually, because if you raise your hand, great. That you never, ever, because I'm going to put everybody that ever comes for a need, I'm going to call them, I'm going to give them your phone number. I'm going to say, go to this person. They're going to take care of it. We all have, sometimes cash flows in greater amounts. Sometimes it flows in lesser amounts. Well, you help so-and-so, but maybe that was one of those times. Or maybe the Lord said no. Hang on. Maybe the Lord said no. It had nothing to do about you personally, but the Lord on the inside said no. I heard Brother Hagin one time. He was teaching. And he said he was teaching about the God had made him, you know, fairly wealthy. He was doing well. He wasn't a millionaire, but he was doing well. And he said somebody come up to him after service and said, "So you're doing so well, you gonna loan me some of that money?" He said, Wait, let me check. He said, "No." No. I love it. Get your eyes off your friends. Get your eyes off your relatives. Get your eyes on Him. Look to Him. Seek Him. You may have had a friend or loved one comes to you over and over for help. And you've helped them over and over. And God may say, "No, you're hindering my work in them. Stop." If they get mad at you for not helping them, that shows they have their eyes on you. The church before, we've helped people and families, and we've helped people that are not associated with this church at all. I mean, we're a giving church. We've always been a giving church, as we were able to. And I remember one day we took a lot of groceries to this guy, and we went out Victory Drive where they lived. And they needed food and whatever, and so we just did it. And we went and bought a lot of stuff. And as soon as we're bringing in the stuff, it was several bags, and we were bringing it in, heard the guy over in the corner of the room. He said, "I hope this church brings us some meat. Last church didn't bring us no meat." And I was thinking about, this will be the last bag you ever get, buddy. Hell or high water, it ain't ever coming here again. Unless the Lord speaks to me while I'm burning bush, it ain't coming back. You understand me? Better enjoy what you get, because you ain't getting it no more. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. See, because I knew. See, people that really deserve the help, they're grateful even if you don't help them. They're still grateful. But people that are looking to you and they're expecting of you and they're putting unrealistic expectations on you, they're mad that you didn't help. They'll withdraw their love from you because you didn't help. Good riddance. I didn't even say the end of that. Good riddance to bad rubbish, I believe this. But I didn't say that. Pastor Sharon, come on up and get me out of trouble. And the title again is, "Who Are You Looking To?" Psalms 121 and 2, "My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Psalms 121, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. It's all yours now. Glory to God.
Testing. There we go. That's better. Amen. So I say an awesome word, something that we all praise need God. To hear. And we're going to take the word that we heard this morning and take it with us so that when temptation comes along for us to do something or help somebody without praying first, we'll say, "Wait a minute. Let me go to God." Amen. We're not going to be intimidated by nobody. Amen. Because God is our helper. He is our helper. And so we're going to go to him first and ask him, should I buy this? Should I give this money to this person?
Yes.
Should I go out of town? Whatever it might mm-hmm. be. You know, God wants to lead us and guide us and direct us in every area of our life. Amen. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do, mm-hmm. he wants us to look to him first.
Amen.
Not look to man. We've all been guilty of that. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to be aware of God and his will more than man and not be pressured by man or by anything. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you this morning for the word that we heard. We thank you, Father God, that you care about every detail in our life, from the most important, to the biggest and to the smallest, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you provide all our needs, that you care about every area of our lives, Father God, and that you minister to our needs, and you minister to those areas in our lives, Father God, that we have need of. And we give you all praise and all glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ashley, you can come
praise
up,
God.
Please. God is awesome.
God.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome word. Awesome. Thank you, Lord.